Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I am your host, Alex, and I'm joined today, as always, by my co-host, Austin. Hello, friend.
Well, that was fun.
Well, that really was fun. Oh, no.
Alex is insecure because I pointed out that's one of her current phrases she uses when she wants to transition or leave somewhere. She says, well, that was fun.
I don't know what else to say. Do you have a better, I'm done with this now, time to go
thing? If you just said, okay, I'm done with this shit, bye.
It's subconscious. It really is. I don't notice I do it. What do you say? What's your eject button?
I have a million little phrases I use. Apparently, I always say, gross, when I'm not happy with something.
Gross.
Gross.
You do say that a lot.
I do say that a lot. I do the thing where sometimes when I'm bored and by myself and I like open a door or something, I go like, boosh. I like make a sound effect for it.
You narrate your like life, your everyday.
Sometimes. I'm subconsciously not even realizing it.
Super funny.
Oh, what else? I have a million little quirks. We all do. It's just human nature.
Yeah, humans are weird. You just have to be unapologetically you.
Maybe some people should be more apologetically themselves.
Well, that's true. I meant, like, with things that are innocuous and quirky in a cute way, not, oh, I'm gonna be an asshole and everybody else just has to deal with it. That is not okay.
I'm a lot to handle, you guys, so that's on you.
Hard to handle now. Who sings that? Is that the Black Crows?
I'm the wrong person to ask.
Music trivia. Oh my gosh. We should do a music trivia.
I would not be able to do it, but I could support you.
I'm not good at music trivia either, but I always think it's fun to just try and see how far you get. Anywho, that's another thing I say a lot. Anywho, what's been going on recently, Austin?
God, nothing.
A whole lot of nothing?
God, what have I been doing? Who am I? Where am I? It's that time of year. We're at the end of the year right now. We're recording on December 21st. The shortest day of the year, actually.
Is it really?
The first day of winter. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. First day of winter? Oh my gosh. Hello, winter.
Yeah. We're at that time of year where like everyone's rushing around and nothing seems to be happening at the same time. I know what we did do. We saw Avatar Fire and Ash.
We did do that.
Alex, you're our Avatar expert. In fact, you might be the only Avatar expert in the world. So why don't you tell us what you thought?
First of all, maybe you could have said that back in 2009, but I haven't been an Avatar expert in over, like, well, almost like a decade.
Here's how you know Alex is an Avatar expert. We finished the movie, and Alex turns to me, and she says, I can't believe we saw this character. And I said, who? What character? And you were like, we haven't seen their avatar form since the first movie. And I'm like, Alex, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Okay, see, I'm pretty sure that character's avatar did not appear in the second movie. I could be wrong because I don't remember a lot of the second movie. So I don't think it's a fair assessment to say avatar expert.
Okay, but you remember, you know all the names of all the different Na'vi and all the children. And I'm like, I could not tell you a single one of those Na'vi people's names. I could tell you Jake. And that's because I just saw the movie.
Okay, so let me ask you this. If you'd have a limited understanding of the movie, did you enjoy it? Were you able to enjoy it having basically zero knowledge of who these people are?
I mean, I've seen the previous two movies when they were in theaters. And the second one was not too long ago. So, I can follow the plot. It's not like it's a very complicated storyline. In fact, it's a very simple storyline. I will say, when this one, I think they did an interesting job of making the characters more morally complex than they have been in the past.
Ooh.
I don't think they necessarily realize that potential. But the thing about this movie is, knowing that there's two more movies to come, I don't know what critiques I can have, because I don't know if future sequels are being set up or not. You know what I mean?
So we need to have a complete picture of the entire story, is what you're saying.
Yes. That was my take on Across the Spider-Verse. It's like, I can't voice certain critiques, so I don't know if they're going to be addressed in the future.
That's the thing. I think with these long, drawn-out, epic kind of saga-type movies, it's hard to fully pinpoint something in a specific movie, because without spoiling it, because I know this movie is brand new and a lot of people may not have seen it yet, so I'm not going to go into details of plot or whatever. I'm just going to say there's a lot of things that happened in that movie that I was like, what? Why didn't they go into more detail on that? Where yes. is the outcome for this character? What happens with that? Blah, blah, blah. I had so many questions, but then I thought to myself, well, maybe it's one of those situations, to your point, where we're not going to get that addressed until the next movie. So,
are we thinking of the same character?
I had a lot of those moments in the movie with multiple okay. characters.
I'm thinking of the sexy fire lady.
Oh, well, she's one of them, for sure. Yes,
she was a big one. She felt like she totally got dropped halfway through.
Anyway, my point is, I wish that some of these loose ends kind of got tied up during this movie, because I did hear, this is hearsay through the grapevine, I don't have the actual source it came from, but I heard somebody say, James Cameron said, these three movies so far, the first, second, and then the third one now, could be taken as a complete story. So I'm like,
incorrect.
Okay, if that's the case.
That's incorrect.
Exactly. I'm like, if that's the case, then we needed way more resolutions to what happened in the film. I wasn't satisfied with a lot of it. So I'm very skeptical about that because there's a lot left unsaid, but I had more questions than answers going out of it. So, but overall, I would say I liked it better than the second movie. Okay. I thought it had a lot more action, even though some people might disagree and say that it was very similar, you know, beat for beat plot points that the first movie had. And I did feel that way. But then I'm like, well, maybe they're trying to go for like a full circle kind of thing. Ultimately, we enjoyed the movie, thought it was really great. I recommend if you guys are looking for a fun movie to see over the holidays.
It has to make $2 billion.
Come on, we got to get to that $2 billion so that James Cameron can get that bag and make Avatar 4.
Make Alex's wishes come true. She has to see all these movies. She's the only one.
I have to.
But she has to do it.
I'm living for these movies. Guys, you don't understand. I saw the first Avatar like 17 times in theaters. I was completely enthralled as a 16-year-old when that movie came out. So please grant me a Christmas miracle. Let James Cameron, the poor, starving visionary that he is, make his money and make another two movies. Disney is a struggling studio, as we all know, a small indie studio that needs help.
That's funny.
You know what it's giving? It's giving the whole, like, Game Freak is a little indie studio, please understand vibes. Like, come on, we're so past that.
Game Freak is an understaffed studio.
Fair. That's a fair assessment.
Given unrealistic deadlines for the resources they have. I think that we can clearly say.
Not to get into that too deeply, but can you believe that we're still at that point in 2025? Pokemon being as successful as it is, and Nintendo will not relegate the resources to it like it rightly deserves.
Well, I mean, Nintendo loves their own franchises, taking their sweet time. Let's put out a new mainline Zelda every 7-8 years. But Pokemon, you gotta do it every year. Go.
That is so strange. Is it because they know that it's gonna sell regardless of the quality? Or, I mean, I don't see another explanation. Why do they give other franchises the time that they deserve to have a development cycle, but Pokemon doesn't have that? Questions for the ages.
We're making a lot of assumptions, but it's interesting. But let's move on. Speaking of Pokemon games, I'm pretty far through Legends EA DLC.
Yeah, we did mention that a couple episodes back on Out of the Drying Pan. We were going to check in with you and see how you liked it and what your overall thoughts were now that you're in the DLC endgame. So give it to us.
Okay, first of all, if I'm as close to the end as I think I am, that shit's not worth $30. It's just not. Nothing you can do about it, but it's not worth $30. It's worth $15, but not $30. This is probably the most disappointing DLC a mainline Pokemon game has ever had, in my opinion. all the other games had new areas and new places to explore, but this feels like I'm in an endless cycle loop of doing the same things over and over and over again. And it's actually pretty relaxing in a weird way just to do it and kind of have on a podcast or something and just kind of mindlessly grind to get points for plot progression. But it's not worth $30, y'all. This is not worth it.
That's an interesting point you raise, because in my opinion, if you're going to be spending that kind of money on an experience, an addition, not even just the, you know, actual base game, which is in and of itself very expensive, but then you're talking about a completely new spin-off DLC that you're spending an exorbitant amount of money on, and you're basically summing it up as a grindy, absent-minded type of experience that you're really not committing to. It's not really, there's no real player engagement per se. You're basically just grinding out what, points? Like
it gives you little plot, or it gives you little objectives, and you have a time limit of beating those objectives, and it's not hard, not really, not unless you don't have enough time limit or the Pokemon are too over leveled. But it's just not engaging enough. And I do have a critique. I don't like how the Pokemon don't level up. I don't like that.
They don't level up.
The Pokemon don't level up. So it's like, well, why am I even doing any of this? Why am I doing this?
So are you saying, and this may or may not be a spoiler, so I'm just going to treat it as one. So mute us now if you don't want to know about the DLC. Are you saying that your Pokemon don't level up once you get to that point? Like, if whatever level your Pokemon is going into the DLC is what they're going to be no matter what?
What I'm saying is, when you're doing the hyperspace stuff, your Pokemon don't gain experience points. And I'm like, weird. What is the point of that? That's so bizarre to me. I'm catching all these new Pokemon and I can't level them up without giving them rare candy stuff? That is odd to me. I don't like that.
So, correct me if I'm wrong. The only mechanics in place to go in the game is Hyperspace Lumios. So you have no mechanic in the DLC, like no extra area or wherever that you can take your Pokemon and continue to level them up and do stuff, and then do the hyperspace stuff.
Unless you want to do the Battle Royale stuff, which I've already pretty much completed, and I'm like, I don't want to do that again. I'm done with that.
So there's nothing extra to do in the DLC other than the hyperspace stuff.
There's new side quests, and occasionally you'll battle someone, but that's not enough to get experience points in any meaningful way.
What? So the only thing you can do to level up new Pokemon that you catch in this DLC is to take them back through the Battle Royale?
Yeah. Which I'm simply not going to do. So,
wow. Okay. Well, that is something. I don't know how I feel about that. Especially knowing, like you said, the other DLC we've had up to this point, you've got Isle of Armor, Crown Tundra, which were complete new areas, new Pokemon, whatever. Then you had Indigo Disc and the Teal Mask for Scarlet and Violet, which were completely new story points and areas and Pokemon. And now you have this, and it's not that.
No, it's like a mission pack.
Ooh, that's so disappointing.
Yeah, I'm not happy with it.
And for the price of
$30.
Okay, let me ask this. I know Crown Tundra and Isle of Armor were 15 each, so 30 mm-hmm. together. Was Teal Mask and Indigo Disc 15 each?
I think so. Let's find out.
So it would be 30 together?
Man, they hide the prices on these things.
They don't want people to know.
Okay, the combo of the Scarlet and Violet DLC was
$35.
$35. So, okay, $30. Let's just say that.
Wow, okay. So this one thing by itself for no new areas is 30.
I mean, maybe there's going to be an amazing finale that I'm just not at yet. That has been a recent phenomenon with Pokemon games, is the ending is good, but the lead up is not.
I haven't heard of, well, this may be a spoiler as well. So spoiler, I haven't heard personally of anything like that. People would be talking about it, I feel like.
I'm sure they would.
If that was the case, but I haven't heard anything to that effect. I have heard a lot of complaints about the time mechanic, that it ends no matter what you're doing, which has been very frustrating.
nothing too critical has happened with me in regards to that, but it is kind of frustrating when you're like a split second away from catching a new Pokemon and the time limit cuts out. It's like, ah! But I think that's kind of the appeal of the structure, though. I'll defend that because you know what that is? Actual fucking challenge in a Pokemon game. So you know what? I'll take it.
Well, thanks for sharing your thoughts on all of that, Austin. That's very interesting. I will say that I do look forward to eventually playing ZA. I'm not so sure I'm going to spring for the DLC right away, or maybe at all. I'm not sure.
I don't see how you could ever get it at a lower price point. You wouldn't be able to.
No, that's not. I mean, like I told you guys a couple weeks back, when I bought the Sword and Shield DLC, that was still full price, and it's been 6 years. So I have no, you know, illusions about it being cheaper later.
Illusions, Michael.
Illusions. It sounds like one of those things that could be skipped without any real consequences. Although I'm sad because I really love Hoopa. So, decisions. Well, doesn't sound like we've got any feedback or any other thoughts to explore, so let's unmask these episodes. Well, what do we got this week, Austin?
I can't tell these episode titles apart. What is the first one? Disaster of Disguise and Disguise the Limit.
I kind of love the first title. Disaster of Disguise is clever.
It makes me think of that terrible movie, Master of Disguise.
What is that about?
Oh, the Turtle Man?
Excuse me?
You don't remember that? Okay, it's not worth getting into right now. We'll table that.
That's a conversation for later. All right.
Yes, it is.
You want to flip the coin there?
All right, let's flip the... Oh my god, Dragonite's looking rough these days.
I know, you've been beating up on him. He's been falling him onto the floor and...
I'm doing the 30-second flash challenge. And you are doing the walkthrough.
You almost got yourself.
If you have better names, I'm always willing to hear.
I don't, so I can't complain.
Okay, there is some kind of bird and it is freaking out. It's going like constantly in the background. I think it's responding to a siren going by.
Oh no, the bird is in distress.
The bird is not happy.
Ooh, it's like that angry squirrel that lives outside of your house.
There is an angry squirrel, and I think it's responding to the orange cat that walks around, and it'll angrily chirp for minutes on end. It'll just chirp, 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 chirp at you.
One time when I was visiting Austin, I was feeling very bold, and I was like, "Let's go up to it and see what it's gonna do."
Yeah, how are those rabies shots going, by the way?
No, it ran off before. The cat actually appeared, the one Austin was talking about, and it scared the squirrel off. But I was like, let's go over and say hi to the angry squirrel, as it was chittering angrily.
It's a very bold squirrel. It's very not afraid of people.
It will, legitimately jump up on the branch and, come over to you and start, cussing you out. It's a very angry squirrel.
Yes, it is. Oh, the bird stopped.
Oh, maybe the squirrel got it.
Maybe.
Okay, so let's get the timer started. Austin, are you ready for a disaster of an episode?
Yes, I am.
In 3, 2, 1, go.
Drew gets his ass kicked by the Phantom, a mysterious young man who rides around on wind blows of rose petals. But then they find out he's actually a total dweeb who has an abusive mother named Mrs. Grimm. And his parents are in a bad relationship, and the father secretly enables his son. And there's a fountain pen that's really ugly. And Brock becomes the Phantom.
Time.
This is a complicated episode. I love these episodes.
These are great. You know, oftentimes we don't have a pair of banging episodes, but these are great.
I think the contests are in full swing now.
I love it so much. I love it so much. When the focus is not Ash, the episodes are great.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. I do miss Ash. You know, watching, like, Horizons and not having Ash there, I catch myself more often than not turning to Austin and being like, Ash would never. And Austin laughs because he's like, you wanted Ash to be gone forever. Now that he's gone, you're like, I wish we had Ash back.
You can never be happy.
I'm never satisfied. It's true. Okay, so as Austin mentioned, Drew is front and center. We get Drew right off the bat, which, hello, welcome back, Drew. We missed you.
Drew point of view.
Drew POV. The twerps are nowhere around. Sadly, Drew has a little bit of a problem, and that problem is he is getting his ass absolutely beat by Darth Maul / Tuxedo Mask.
Darth Maul Tuxedo Mask?
He's the Phantom. The Phantom, Phantom Menace. Menace.
Okay, I'm going to look for Darth Maul Tuxedo Mask crossover.
Crossover.
Design.
Yeah. Could you imagine? That's the crossover we didn't know we needed.
Yeah, as far as I can tell, that does not exist. Oh, wait. I found Darth Maul in a tuxedo. Does that count?
Ooh. Very dapper.
Yeah.
Are you going to send that to me? I want to know.
Okay, I'll send it to you right now. He looks good. He's wearing like blue like aviator shades and smoking a cigar.
Hello, Mr. Maul. I didn't recognize your game.
No, Maul's hot.
He's hot. Oh. Oh, my. He's looking very dapper.
Well, this one looks a lot less dapper. Here you go. Look at this one.
Ew. I'm not sure I like that.
Is that someone's cosplay? It's not a very good one.
That's like Pinhead meets Darth Maul. That's
yeah,
scary,
that doesn't look
actually.
Anything like Darth Maul.
It doesn't.
Deleting that.
Delete that. How do I delete? Okay, there it goes.
Yeah, okay, we're going to keep the sexy Darth Maul. Oh, who's the artist who did this? Fancy Maul. It's copyright Fancy Maul, so look up Fancy Maul.
Thank you for that. That's very talented. Okay, so Darth Maul is currently beating Drew and Roselia at their own game. This is what happened to him after he fell when he battled Qui-Gon Jinn. He woke up from his amnesia and became a Pokemon coordinator.
He actually woke up on the garbage dump planet and was now a robot spider.
Is that real life?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. Put a pin in that. More on that later.
It was never really explained very well, but go on.
Okay, can you just share what media that happened in? Because that was not in the Phantom Menace.
I think it happened in a non-canon, like, Tales, Star Wars Tales comic or something like that. I don't know. But then it became canon in the Clone Wars CGI cartoon.
Is that the last, like, canon appearance of Darth Maul?
Oh, honey. Darth Maul is still alive today.
Oh, okay.
Actually, technically, he died on Tatooine. But he's still showing up places.
Even though he died.
It's Star Wars. Okay, moving on for Darth Maul.
Anyway, we could literally talk for hours and hours about Star Wars, I'm sure. Or at least Austin could. I couldn't, Austin could.
I could just tell Alex crazy shit and she could react.
Wow. Speaking of, I'm not like a... Okay, you guys may like come for blood when I say this. I'm not the biggest Star Wars fan. I like Star Wars. I think it's totally fine. I've seen all the movies. I enjoyed all the movies. I will say I never watched The Mandalorian, the TV show. But when we were in Avatar yesterday... They did have a trailer for The Mandalorian and Grogu that I thought looked cute, even though I have no context for what's happening in that movie. Maybe I'll watch it at some point. All right. Any other Star Wars thoughts to get off your chest before we move on?
Not off the top of my head.
More might come up later. We'll see.
Okay.
Okay.
All this is to say, the Phantom looks nothing like Darth Maul. I don't know why we're talking about him.
Because it's got Phantom in the name.
Technically, wasn't the Phantom Menace... Palpatine?
Yes.
Okay.
But I always think of Darth Maul when I think of the Phantom Menace because his face is what's on the cover.
True.
Of the movie. So yes. False advertising, I guess. It wasn't Sheev. Anyway, so Drew and Roselia are handily beaten by this mysterious Phantom guy. And he disappears. He kind of steals Drew's like whole thematic thing. with the flower petals, because he kind of disappears in a whirl of dark black rose petals, which I thought was interesting. So Roselia is, like, on the verge of death. Drew takes it to the Verdanturf Pokemon Center, where he bumps into the Twerps, of course. And May is like, Drew, I knew I'd find you here. Girl is down bad. Anyway.
Girl has bad taste.
I can't say anything. You know I ship May and Drew. So he tells them that he was going to enter tomorrow's contest. However, those plans have changed because Roselia is not in fighting shape at all. And apparently he doesn't use any other Pokemon in contests.
Yeah, what was that? You don't have a single other Pokemon?
He has other Pokemon, right?
We know he gets other Pokemon. But at this point, does he only have Roselia?
Maybe? Question mark?
Weird.
Maybe that's the only one he feels confident with battling?
Unlike May and Skitty, she's like, yeah, I'll use Skitty. I don't give a fuck.
Oh, God. We'll talk about that. Just hold on. Hold on to your hats.
Hold on to your handkerchief.
Hold on to your handkerchiefs, people. But anyway, Drew sulks off, but he leaves them with an ominous warning to avoid a coordinator named the Phantom. Dun dun dun. Okay.
Cut to the Phantom appearing in front of the Twerps. Basically.
Did he appear?
Well, he will.
At that point? Okay. Well, first it's Jesse and James and Meowth. They're here. And Jesse is imposing a forced jazzercise routine on James and Meowth because they gotta exercise, I guess. Instead of, like, I don't know, practicing with Dustox. Dustox is nowhere to be found. So they, of course, end up in the exact same place as where the Twerps are, because destiny. And May and Skitty are practicing their horrendously boring double slap juggling routine.
Good lord.
You know what? I never thought I would say this, but I actually miss Beautifly and the Frisbee.
Can we have Skitty chasing the Frisbee? Like that'd be better.
Anything would be better than whatever this is.
I'm tired of May and her props. No more props. That's enough of that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, on the one hand, I'm like, okay, it makes sense in some aspects, but can we just rely on the merit of the Pokemon's moves? Do we have to introduce some sort of, like, third element all the time? Like, this is just too much. I hope she drops that later. Does she?
Hopefully. We'll find out.
Oh, God. Okay, stay tuned for that as well. So then we see this other kid who is spying on Team Rocket, spying on the Twerps. And immediately, you know, that the formula is so ingrained at this point. This is the Phantom. We know it's the Phantom. It's this kid. And he's got the same hair color, so of course it's him. He shows up in front of the Twerps and, like, rudely shoves his way into May's practice, and Ash then subsequently shoves his way into the spotlight because he's like, I'll battle you, Phantom. He doesn't know how to battle ghost types. Ash has forgotten that, even though he's had plenty of experience with ghost types in the past. So Pikachu and Quick Attack are not working, but before he can really pull himself together and have Pikachu do anything, a very fancy Rolls-Royce limousine rolls upon the scene, and a woman who's very angry jumps out and starts chasing after the Phantom. And she's like, get back here, you child. I'll have your head. But she trips and falls and loses the Phantom in the woods.
He also, like, runs into a tree or something.
Yeah, she trips and falls, and then he runs into a tree and cuts his hand, which, remember that for later, because the cut on the hand will come back. What did you think about this woman?
I think she's an abuser, but I think she's a good character to watch.
Oh my goodness. We're going to have so much to say about her.
Mrs. Grimm. I wish she had a name.
Mama Grimm.
She's only Mrs. Grimm.
Why Grimm? Like Grimm's fairy tales?
Grimm Reaper. Dusclops is a ghost.
Oh, okay.
Grimm fairy tales? You're right.
Maybe. So she basically assaults Ash. She grabs him and she's like, are you miscreants involved in the, I don't know, corruption of my son? My son is up to no good and you must be involved because the Phantom is here and you're here and that means that you guys are bad too.
And they're like, who's your son? Who are you?
Yeah, they have no idea what's going on. They're like, look, lady, we've never seen you or that guy before in our lives. Can you please explain what is going on? So she does. She calms down, and when Brock asks her that, she explains that her son is her only son, named Timmy. She is concerned for him because he's recently turned truant, hasn't been going to school, and is up to some shady behavior, and she fears the worst.
And she hired the shittiest PI in the world.
Yeah. He obviously hasn't been able to solve the mystery, because even after she spends God knows how much on a private PI to follow her son and see what's going on and who this phantom person is, he obviously cannot report back any meaningful information to her, and I guess gave up, because she still doesn't have an answer on if Timmy and the phantom are different people or the same person or what's going on. She's like, wherever Timmy and the phantom are, one shows up and the other one's not far behind.
What could it mean?
Come on. Yeah, what could it mean? So she's like, come, children, get in my very luxurious limousine and come back to my very humble house. Which, it's a multi-million dollar mansion in Verdant Turf, apparently.
Yeah, Verdant Turf is not explored very much in these episodes.
No, we don't see much of it at all, except for the Pokemon Center and the contest area.
And this giant mansion estate.
And we don't get an explanation on what she does to earn this kind of living. She has a business, but I don't know what that business is.
A business. She's a businesswoman.
What kind of business would exist in the Pokemon world?
I mean, it could be anything. It could be literally anything. We don't know.
Aside from, like, Devon Corporation and Sylph Company, like, we know those, okay? They make Pokemon stuff, whatever. Like, I wonder what this business is.
Well, she's anti-Pokemon. So it has nothing to do with Pokemon.
Nothing to do with Pokemon. Yeah, so whatever it is, it's not Pokemon related. So they're not making Pokemon Pokeballs. They're not making rare candies. They're not doing anything. Like, Pokeblock.
Like, it could be literally anything. We don't know.
Maybe it's, like, just something mundane. Like, she owns an airline company or something. Who knows? People travel a lot in that Pokemon world, so. She takes them back to their house. And we find out she's disgustingly rich. And she sits the twerps down, but not before basically putting Timmy on blast in front of everyone. Right out in the open, starts screaming at him because she's like, where have you been? Where is this mysterious cut on your hand from?
The one that I saw the phantom also get.
She's very close to putting two and two together.
And we gotta talk about the fountain pen.
Yeah, so he also has a pen that during the original chase in the woods falls out of his pocket. And she picks it up, the mother, and then confronts him with the pen. And she's like, I found your pen. And he's like, oh, I can explain that. But he never does because he runs away before she can accuse him further.
Can someone please explain to me the appeal of fountain pens?
Are they really messy? Get ink everywhere?
I once was filling out a job application. And Kelsey was like, here, take a pen. And it was a fountain pen. And I pressed the paper and the ink went everywhere. And I couldn't figure out how to use it. So I filled it out and it was just a splotchy mess. It looked like a deranged, like a serial killer had filled out a job application. And it made you couldn't read it. I was like, well, you didn't have a Bic pen. So I guess I'm going to turn in this job application. I did not get the job.
So, can you explain the difference between a fountain pen, like the mechanism behind it, versus a ballpoint pen?
Can I explain it? No, I can't. Yes. I don't know how it works.
Can anyone? Not to be confused with calligraphy.
Yeah, my understanding is it's like they have a specific purpose, but I don't know what that purpose is.
You know what? I can't take it. I'm itching to know. I'm looking up fountain pen.
What are fountain pens for? Google AI has something to say. They use a vacuum to transfer ink.
This says, okay, according to the AI overview, I'm so sorry.
Oh, God.
Fountain pens use liquid ink and a nib for smooth, low-pressure writing with varied styles, offering customization but needing care. Ballpoints use thick oil-based ink and a rolling ball, requiring pressure, but are durable, convenient, quick-drying, and affordable. That really doesn't tell me anything.
I just don't see the point, I guess. But I'm willing to learn.
What's a nib? It says it has a nib that's separated by two tines. The nib is on top of a collector, which is connected to the feed. What are all these terms? The feed? Maybe I'm just a simpleton who cannot understand fountain pens. Maybe I'm too much of a peasant. I can't afford a fountain pen, so I just have the regular old ballpoint.
Yeah, also a peasant. So, did you see what was odd about the pen?
It had a round red ball on top of it with some white lines.
Yes, because it's a censored Pokeball symbol.
Why?
Because
I was wondering about it, but why?
Because it stands out very clearly. Like, every time it's on screen, it's like, whoa, it, like, looks really different from all the other animation.
Why did they censor the Pokeball? I don't understand that.
You cannot, on children's television, on Saturday mornings in the early 2000s, be promoting products that actually exist.
So they had Pokeball toys at the time?
I think it was too close to something that could exist.
That's ridiculous. The Pokeball is basically synonymous with the franchise.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at this. Look, I just Googled Pokeball pen and I found a Pokeball pen that looks exactly like that.
From the 2000s?
Well, I don't know when it came out.
Okay, I think that, you know what? Look, I'm not trying to defend this or whatever, but I just think that's so much of a stretch that you can't have a pen with a Pokeball topper on it in universe where, of course, the characters would have Pokeball merchandise. That's so strange.
I mean, it's a reaction to the 80s cartoons. It's where, like, you know, Transformers and G.I. Joe and Thundercats and all that stuff's coming out. And it was all very blatantly, buy our products, watch our cartoons, buy our products. And people went out of their way. The FCC was like, no, we're not going to do this anymore. No more advertising to children on cartoons. And so they were pretty strict about it, is my understanding.
So, arguably, I would consider the way we are advertised to today to be 1,000 times worse than that. Oh, yeah.
Go to Temu.
And honestly, they still employ predatory advertising techniques to kids. I mean, go down your cereal aisle at your local grocery store, and you'll see exactly what I mean. They put all of the sugary, mascot-branded cereal right at children's eye level. You can't sit there and tell me that they don't keep doing that stuff.
No Pokeballs on pens, on television.
No, apparently. Those are corrupting to the youth. No Pokeball pens.
Why was Timmy allowed to have a Pokeball fountain pen in the first place, is my question.
Oh my god, are you as strict as his mother?
Well, it doesn't align with her mother's values, as we'll soon find out. Let's continue.
No Pokemon training related paraphernalia at all.
Trainers.
Oh, okay, here we go.
Which one of these Pokemon is the best choice to battle Crawdaunt? Volbeat, Chinchou, or Houndour?
Please stop. Oh my god, please stop.
We got a season and a half more of this.
Trainer's choice, why? Okay, Crawdaunt, let's think critically, because I've been wrong too many times.
Dude, like, it's a split second. You gotta make a decision immediately.
Volbeat.
Well, that didn't work. Volbeat's your final answer?
I don't know. I'm scared.
Are you sure about that?
I'm scared. Oh my god.
Trainers, you chose Volbeat. You are wrong because Volbeat's a pure bug type and Chinchou is an electric type.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
See, under pressure, I cracked. I didn't know. It's pure bug?
Okay, apparently when you Google Volbeat, you find a rock band called Volbeat and not the Pokemon Volbeat. I did not know that.
I think of it every time I hear that band name. I think...
They were formed in 2001, so they just barely missed the Volbeat deadline.
Oh my god, Pokemon plagiarism?
I can't believe... they must not have been aware of that when they named Volbeat. Weird.
I don't know what their band name's a reference to, but...
Volume Beat? I would assume. Okay, yeah, Volbeat's a pure bug type.
Okay, I'm sorry. What is bug good against?
Dark?
See? Psychic? It's good against dark.
Is it dark? Really?
Oh my god, see? See?
Oh my god, I'm so dumb. I forgot Crawdaunt was a dark type.
Oh my god, you made me feel like I was a complete fool. And I had this in my subconscious. I just knew.
You were right. Yes, Volbeat would also be a good choice. Foolishly believe the trainer's choice. Can you believe it?
Okay,
I'm the fool this time.
Wow. put on your jester hat, Austin, and do a dance because you're being a fool. Cronut
was a dark type. I'm sorry.
Wow. I said that. I said it's a water and dark type. Mm-hmm. And then you were like, stop that thinking.
Let's see what Bulbapedia has to say.
Okay, so wait. Chin Chow is water electric, right?
Yeah.
So is it because it has that dual water typing to where it's kind of like resisting?
I don't know.
Oh my god, guys, help.
Okay, Bulbapedia says Volbeat also has an advantage over Crawdon. So we are going to say that this trainer's choice was incorrect.
Oh my god, they always are. Well, you know what? I feel slightly vindicated and a little bit better that Volbeat was a viable choice because of the bug typing.
I apologize for gaslighting you. Thank again.
You. Speaking of gaslighting. Whew,
oh, boy, wait. Here we go.
Got to talk more about Mama Grimm and
you
her
are crazy
family.
If you think that Timmy could be the Phantom.
You're crazy.
You're a crazy person.
That's crazy, Tom.
Timmy was never the Phantom.
Okay, so Pokeball Pen aside, it's censored. Redacted. Pokeball Pen redacted.
Oh, very timely.
I didn't bring that up for any particular reason. Nuh-uh, not at all. Okay. Anyway, he runs off crying and very upset because his mother is yelling at him in front of complete strangers. Understandable. So he runs away. Meanwhile, Mrs. Grimm is like, oh my god, I think I know the answer. It has to be that my son is the Phantom. All the evidence lines up. But Brock, always the contrarian, jumps in and says, well, just because he has an identical wound on his hand, just like the Phantom, doesn't mean anything. And the gaslighting begins. Okay, Brock. She is like, okay, you know what? I am going to go off and solve this mystery. I'm busy. I gotta go. Goodbye. Suddenly, a mysterious man materializes right next to the Twerps without them noticing that he appeared at all, which is very weird.
He's a ghost.
He is a ghost. He's like, hello, children. I'm Tommy Grimm, Timmy Grimm's father. He unveils the truth of this whole affair and shares that he himself was once a great Pokemon coordinator back in his younger years, and he fell in love with his wife,
Mrs. Grimm.
Mrs. Grimm, but she had a lot of unresolved childhood trauma and hated Pokemon as a result. And before they got married, and see, this is, okay, this is where we're going to have to start the deep dive. Before they got married, she drew her line and said, I do not like Pokemon and I forbid them in my house. If you accept that, great. If not, great. But I guess Tommy Grimm lied to his fiance and broke her trust about this whole thing. So yes. He, instead of doing the responsible thing and breaking up over a very big compatibility issue in their relationship, he decided to marry her anyway because, oh, let's not forget, she's the heiress to a multi-million dollar business and fortune. So I'm wondering if that plays a little bit of a role in his decision.
Yeah, we don't know his backstory very much, do we? His economic background.
I have a small inkling that the financial position of Mrs. Grimm and her family, because we learn later that it's her is where the money comes from. We don't know him, like you said. So I'm curious. I think it's all very, it's a little bit too coincidental that he was like, you know what? I'm going to marry you anyway. And so, like I mentioned, instead of breaking up, being responsible and saying, wow, we have a really huge lifestyle incompatibility, this is basically like, do you want kids? Do you not want kids? There is no compromise.
Do you want Pokemon? Do you not want Pokemon?
Exactly. But you know what? Honestly, it's kind of the same thing as like, hey, I really don't like dogs or I really don't like cats. I don't want any pets in my life, whatever.
I feel like Pokemon falls between dog and child.
And child. They are intelligent. You can't compromise on it. It's one or the other. You can't have yes or no. And you can't coerce or convince somebody after the fact, when they've already made their boundary, to then change their entire stance on something, because it's very impactful to your life. So he marries her to take advantage of her tremendous fortune, I guess, and then ends up sneaking around behind her back and becomes the Phantom as a disguise so he can continue his coordinator activities.
Many such cases on Grindr.
Mm. And this really did not... This really did not endear me at all to Tommy Grimm, because I'm like, this guy knew Mama Grimm's boundaries and he lied to her.
Created a fake identity with a costume and went out the window, seemingly.
Yes! That is complete breach of trust.
And presumably had Pokemon he was not telling her about for some length of time in her house.
You can't defend this guy decision. You can't. It's horrendous. He should have found somebody else who shared his views and his lifestyle choices.
Another heiress.
Another heiress who liked Pokemon, for sure. But yeah, I felt really horrible for Mama Grimm because I'm like, she was lied to and taken advantage of. Anyway, so this pattern of disrespecting her and lying to her continues when they have their son, Timmy. Because as Timmy became older and grew up, as a younger child, he found a stray Duskull.
How cute.
How cute. I know. It was precious. I loved it. However, as we know, Mama Grimm's stance on this issue is very hardline. She was 100% no Pokemon in the house. I don't want Pokemon around me. Zero Pokemon, zero tolerance. So he goes to his father. Well, rather, his father goes to him, actually.
He's crying in an alleyway somewhere, and his father approaches him.
He sees how heartbroken his son is after his mother rejected the Duskull, because he brings it home saying, "Hey, Mom, can we keep it? It'll be alone if I don't take it in." And she's like, "Absolutely not. You know my rule." Which, you may feel like it's pretty cold and heartless, and that might very well be true, but that's her rule. And regardless, he's the son, so... He goes to Tim behind his wife's back.
Tom goes to Tim.
Yes. His father goes to Tim, seeing how heartbroken his son is, and brings him the costume that he used to wear as a coordinator, the Phantom costume.
Except I don't think it is. I think it's a second costume he had made in Timmy's size, ready to go.
Which is even worse, arguably. Because it's not like he's just like, "Here, take my old costume and wear it." You're right.
He was planning on this to happen.
And he encourages his son to disobey and disrespect his mother's boundaries and rules by enabling this.
I think that Duskull was not placed there on accident.
Do you think
the fact father... that it's a Duskull and the Phantom is a Dusclops costume?
Oh my god, his father's even more insidious.
Yeah.
That's quite the coincidence, if true.
That really is.
Big if true. So, Timmy is like, "Oh my god, Dad, this is for me." And he's like, "Yes, son, I want you to be happy and live your dreams and go out and behind your mother's back, be a Pokemon trainer."
I love it when parents give conflicting information to their children and tell them to do different things.
Right? This is so toxic. First of all, you know, you have two parents who are not united on an issue. You have one parent undermining the other, which is horrible. While I do agree that the mother is very strict, and she obviously sees her son upset and still forbids him to have the Pokemon, it's still very wrong of the dad to go behind his wife's back and make a unilateral decision without her.
I want to make it clear, Mrs. Grimm is also an abuser parent.
Yes.
But the episode is taking the dad's side because he's pro-Pokemon. Yes. Therefore, I think you're focusing more on him because there's an unstated series of events happening here that you were drawing attention to.
Well, the thing is, I think you make a really good point, is the fact that, of course, this is the Pokemon anime, and they're pro-Pokemon, and they always paint anyone who is not a fan of Pokemon as a bad person, or a misguided person. There's no room for anyone in this world who don't like Pokemon.
You secretly love Pokemon underneath it all. You do. You simply do.
Yeah. Exactly, and every single time the twerps ever encounter anybody who's apprehensive about Pokemon in any aspect, they always end up basically strong-arming that person's emotions into then accepting and loving Pokemon.
Because Pokemon are great. Buy our merchandise. Go buy our Pokeball pen.
Like you said, it's basically like, you're just out of touch. You're just misguided. If you just look within yourself and be a little introspective, you'll see that you, too, love Pokemon. And I say this as somebody who unironically loves Pokemon. So I've been indoctrinated. However, we have to respect that there's people that don't like Pokemon.
Pokemon are also not real. Pokemon are a cartoon franchise. It's not a living creature in your home.
Well, of course not. But the products, anyway. So, yeah. Mr. Grimm is a liar. And he's not being a very good partner to his wife. Because he's undermining her behind her back. Using his child to do so. So, having heard this story, the twerps and Tom conspire to help Timmy enter the Pokemon contest. So the twerps are now willing participants in this plan to further gaslight Mrs. Grimm by having Brock play the part as the Phantom to lie to her.
I will note, this is all Brock's plan. Brock heard a situation about parents giving conflicting standards to the children and not considering the children first. And he was like, I know what we gotta do. We gotta tell this mom she's a fucking idiot because...
Yeah, does part of this stem from Brock's own, like, internalized distaste of his own mother?
Yeah, I think it might.
Why? Okay, maybe I'm getting too into this, and I know we don't necessarily want to open up this can of worms, but why is it always the mother? Like, they're always putting the bad guy role on the mother. Regardless, so they come up with this scheme to have Brock pose as the Phantom, because if Brock is the Phantom and Tommy and Timmy are standing there, well, there's no way they could be the Phantom, so that would absolve Timmy of any suspicion that he's actually the Phantom. Oh my god.
Love that the Phantom costume fits Brock, by the way.
Is he using the dad's? He's closer to the dad's size.
Maybe.
Could be. There are two different costumes, who knows?
Maybe Mr. Grimm has a Phantom costume in every size. I don't know.
Probably. It's not like they're hurting for money. He could just have one made at any time.
That's true.
She arrives home from work or wherever she's coming from.
From the airline industry.
Yeah, from the presumably airline industry. Who knows?
She works for Lockheed Martin.
Brock has dressed up as the Phantom. He's standing on the balcony. And this has a really cute moment where Ash and Max are playing the part. And they're really terrible actors.
Loved it.
Loved it, which is surprising because I thought Ash had more acting chops than that, but...
Based on what?
He's dressed up before. He's done, like, things. He's played parts, right?
That's true. Yeah, he was Juliet recently.
Recent as that, yeah. So they're like, oh, look, the Phantom is here. Wow.
What's wrong, Max?
A-list acting right there. So Tom and Tim run up. And they're like, wowzers, the Phantom is here. And they start heavily gaslighting Mom about who the Phantom really is. Because she's like, I could have sworn it was Timmy. All the evidence was there. The pen, the hand cut, just everything. He's never in the same room as the Phantom. And then Tommy jumps in and he's like, that's crazy talk, dear. Making her feel like she's crazy. But all this is interrupted because Team Rocket appears with a fishing pole and they try to pull off Brock's mask because they want a reward for unmasking the Phantom.
She did tell Ash and friends that she would pay them to unmask the Phantom.
And Ash was like, we don't need your money.
No.
How do they live? It doesn't make sense. Anyway.
You know how they live? Delia's fucking paying for everything. That's how they live.
Bankrolling their whole endeavor. God, what is she... Where is this money coming from? It's
crazy. We will never know.
Good lord. All right. Brock is really fighting for his life, trying to keep this mask on, because he's like, if I let this go, the whole jig is up. And so he's like biting onto the mask, trying to keep it from being ripped off his face. May steps in to help, but she does more harm than good, because Skitty's blizzard hits Brock, and he flies into the air, comes back down... And his mask is kind of ridden up, and they fear that the entire ruse has been unmasked. LOL.
Ayo. That was a funny moment when Ash was like, we can't attack Team Rocket because we'll hurt Brock. So we can't use Thunderbolt. And then May was like, fuck that. I'm going to use Blizzard. Skitty, attack Brock.
She doesn't give a crap. And honestly, I'm surprised Ash cared at all, considering how little he cares for Brock. But he at least has a moment of like, oh no, my friend. Yeah, they're afraid that she's seen everything and that she knows that Brock is playing this part and it's all a cover-up. But she kind of laughs it off. Like, Tommy in his inner monologue is like, she knows. She's got to know.
She reverse gaslights them.
She plays that Uno reverse card like a boss. And she's like, ah, of course it wasn't Timmy. Goodbye. And she leaves.
Well, she came up with a new strategy, as we'll see next episode. That was the plan. Yeah,
you can talk about it later. Okay, okay. But this woman is not... She's no gullible person. Fool. She knows what's going on. She's not a fool. But she's like, you know what? You got to pick your battles. This isn't the time and place. I'm going to go and regroup. This will be for another day. So she leaves. And then that's it.
That's really interesting. Because typically, if someone prone to anger and violent outbursts is backed into a corner like that, and a whole group of people, including your family and random children you've just met, is going out of their way to make you look like a fool, I don't typically think that personality type would keep it cool, calm, and strategic and walk it off and have a better plan. I think most would go ballistic.
Well, there is always
that's a surprising, yeah.
Potentially, but there is always the silent simmering rage that you kind of keep in and you're like...
But I don't think we didn't see the silent simmering rage. She wasn't rageful. She was calm.
But see, that's the scariest thing. You can be so angry when you know somebody that is prone to having that kind of personality and they suddenly become very calm.
Yeah, but that's an angry calm versus, like, I think she genuinely was like, I see what's up. I have another idea. I'm going to just walk it off.
Maybe.
I know what you mean, though. Yes.
There are people that when they become like that, it's like, you know, it's, ooh, yeah. Okay. Anyway, so yeah, that's the end of the episode. To be continued, because tomorrow is the big contest day, and we're going to find out if Timmy manages to sneak away and join.
Lip. You're going first.
My MVP is going to be Ash and Max for their stellar acting skills.
Yeah, that was funny.
Just love it. Just love it. They're cute. My LVP, it's going to be Mr. Grimm.
Okay.
Because the very minimum fact that he was told by his fiance at the time, her boundaries, and he completely decided to trample all over those, and he went and lied and went behind her back, and then later on down the line began enabling his son to also lie to his mother behind his back. So just not good parenting by Mr. Grimm. My quote is, oh my gosh, did I only have the one? I guess so. All right, when they come up to the mansion and Mama Grimm steps out of her limousine and she's like, welcome to my humble home. And Brock says, if humble means huge...
Okay, that's cute. My quote is going to be really silly because we already talked about the bad acting lines. So I'm going to go instead with Drew. When we first see him, he goes, rats!
Rats! He said that?
He said rats. Instead of like, damn. He said like, rats! Rats. Okay, I thought that was funny. My MVP, My MVP is going to be Timmy Grimm, because I feel bad for him. He is a victim in all this, and he somehow has raised his Dusclops in secret, and he's good enough to kick Drew's ass. So, good for him.
Good point.
Okay, my LVP. Oh, God. My LVP will be... I want to give it to Brock because of his stupid plan, but he was having such a good time hamming it up that I can't give it to Brock in good consciousness. God, can I give it to May for her stupid skitty routine?
Sure.
Or should I hold off on that?
I mean, you could do the opposite of me and give it to Mama Grimm for her role in the abuse of the...
I got more to say about her later.
Okay.
But for now, I'm going to give it to the FCC for their... for their over-the-top merchandising... monitoring rules and laws.
The fact that we that had to have
four kids to do this.
Yeah, the fact the censored pen. Come on now.
Yeah, that was a bit much. Yeah. All right,
great.
Part two.
Disguise the limit.
Ooh, that's a stretch of an episode title.
I actually wrote it out disguised at the limit because I'm not sure why they couldn't just put the, why they had to go with a da, D-A. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, that's an odd one. But let's time you. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so it's contest day. We're in it now. It's Timmy's very first contest because he's been forbidden all this time. Jesse and James are here. Jesse's entering the contest fairly, which is really great. She has a really good appeal. Loved it. Loved her. Timmy has a really good appeal as well. May doesn't do so well. She's actually horrible. But she ends up against Tommy, or Timmy, whatever their names are, and beats him, even though I don't think she deserved it.
Time.
Ah!
All right, we're going to discuss that in more detail.
Oof.
So it's the morning of the contest. Timmy is running late. Oh my god. Because it turns out Mrs. Grimm's plan was to pile up about 50 textbooks on his desk and say, I know it's Saturday morning. You have to do all this homework immediately now. Goodbye. And he's like, what do I do? At which point, Mr. Grimm, like a fucking psychopath, comes to the window, the second story window, on a ladder, and says, sneak out this window by taking the ladder. I'll deal with your mom. And Timmy's like, yay!
This is insane parenting. What?
This is going to end up on like a true crime show or something.
Who is getting murdered? Double homicide? Like, I don't know. This is crazy.
I think the Phantom's going to kill both his parents at this rate.
Oh my gosh. The lengths this man will go to undermine his wife is sheer lunacy.
He was prepared, too. The moment she walked out of that room, he appeared on a ladder. It was like, Timmy,
oh my,
take a ladder.
God.
Cut to, like, 3 seconds later. Fucking Tom is there doing the fucking homework at the desk. Which is insane in of itself. And Mrs. Grimm comes to the room. And she's acting all, like, you know, cheery and happy because I guess her plan was successful. She's like, hey, Timmy, do you want some? Tom? Where's Timmy? And he gives up the ghost immediately. He's like, he's at the Pokemon contest. Like, he's tired of this charade.
God, the way he looked at her just flatly just turns to her and was like, he's at the contest. Ha ha. Like, basically.
Yeah.
You know what? Okay, you know, look. I'm not saying that I 100% agree with Mrs. Grimm. I think she's way too harsh. And the fact that, you know, she puts unrealistic expectations on her kid to punish him for seemingly no reason. Yeah, it's not great. But the fact that he was sitting there after covering for his kid, knowing full well that she wouldn't be condoning this behavior at all, he was the enabler. And the fact that he's sitting there staring her right in the face saying, yeah, so I helped him. What are you going to do about it?
Things are coming to a head.
What a marriage. This is horrible. Okay, go ahead.
So time for the contest appeals. Jessie's actually the first one up.
Love her.
She is Jesslana. And she does what we said she should have done in the past, which is uses her talents and skills and highlights her Pokemon's abilities and moves. Oh my god.
What a concept.
And she gets, spoiler alert, she gets the highest score of anyone with her appeal.
Oh my god, I was so happy for Jessie. Oh my god.
What's really funny is she actually does what I said she should have done. I probably remembered this to some extent. And she creates the rainbow effect in actuality without the machine. She has Whirlwind and Poison Sting and makes them into like rotating discus things. And she uses Psybeams to highlight the colors. And makes it into a sparkle rainbow effect, which gets her a high score. Who would have thought?
This, I love this. I love this for her. Like, when she actually applies herself and uses her talents as, you know, inherently as a good coordinator, she's really good. And, of course, we all know what's going to happen. I think she does. She was done so dirty. Oh, frustrating.
Well, Jessie's the only real competition in this place, it seems, because we see a Charizard and a Blastoise, and they do really shitty, apparently, even though we don't see what they do.
I have so much to say about Blastoise guy later. Just, okay. Oh my god.
I knew you would.
Oh my god!
There's a Blastoise guy and a Wartortle guy. They're different guys.
No, a Blastoise guy specifically.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Now it's time for May's appeal, in which Skitty comes out and she hasn't used Blizzard, and Skitty's suffering from like ED because it can't perform, and the Blizzard doesn't come out, and everyone's like, oof. Which I think that should have gotten her a zero, like, then and there. Yeah. Like, I think you're done.
The fact that she got a second try.
So instead, she's like, okay, let's just do the juggling. And they do the juggling, and she somehow gets a 24.9 out of 30 after that horrid display.
I'm sorry, the way I'm breathing out of my nose, like, just so mad.
God damn that juggling. The juggling that won the Grand Festival, apparently, by the way.
Okay, is this where I can just quickly time out real quick and defend Blastoise guy?
Okay.
Oh my God, I swear to God, this is going to give me an aneurysm. Please answer me. How in the hell did May get a 24.9 with that piss poor juggling routine when that Blastoise guy, who was doing a full torrent of water with all these sparkles and shit, got a 15.8?
What happened with the Blastoise appeal that we did not see that got him a 15.8? What happened?
My mouth is open. I don't know what to say. I'm shocked.
Did the Blastoise go ballistic and start attacking people? What could have possibly happened?
Did it fall on its back and spray the whole crowd? Did it spray the judges? Like, what happened? I'm flabbergasted. May pulled through with a 24.9 even after she failed her appeal and then did a stupid juggling routine.
They love the juggling. They love juggling skitties. They just love it. They love it.
Justice for Blastoise guy. I am just so upset on his behalf. He deserved better.
Our next appeal is the Phantom in Dusclops, who does a Will-O-Wisp with a Psychic. Very similar to the one you use with your Delphox, by the way, I thought. Oh my God!
Okay, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, wait. I didn't remember this at all, but then again, maybe did I subconsciously, think about... No.
I think there's only so much you can do for one thing.
I mean, to be honest with you, I didn't know this episode was coming up when we answered that question by Pokemon Megastar, but it seemed like the common thing. Like, when you got Will-O-Wisp in the occasion and then Psychic, I mean, it kind of writes itself, right?
Flaming Will-O-Wisp everywhere. That's cool. That's fine. That's cool. So he got the second highest score. Actually, no, he got the third highest score with 27.8. The second highest score was Stefano with the War Turtle. Apparently. Okay. Cut back to the Grimms. And they're in their limo, and their marriage is falling apart. And and she's like, I hate those filthy, disgusting Pokemon. I've never been distracted with these Pokemon things. And Tommy's like, that may be how you remember it. But I know better, because I'm a man. All right, back to the contest. May somehow has made it into the top four. Did everyone else shit their pants and rub it on the judges' faces? What happened?
If I remember correctly, she was contestant number 21 or something like that.
Okay.
So there's at least over a dozen more people, potentially more, because they only said she was 21. There could have been God knows how many more. How badly did all these other people do? I'm just, it boggles. I can't understand it.
Well, we also don't see Skitty versus War Turtle because we just kind of cut and Stefano's War Turtle has been defeated. Hooray!
Oh,
May's just cruising on through this contest, isn't she?
Somehow.
So now the second round is just Lana versus the Phantom. And during this battle, the Grimms arrive in the audience, and they're kind of at the ground floor seeing this. And I would say just Lana and the Phantom are pretty evenly matched. I thought that was pretty impressive on both their parts, actually. They're both certainly better than May, I'll say that.
I have thoughts about this, too.
Well, your thoughts.
You want? Well, go ahead, and then I will tell you my thoughts.
So they're pretty evenly matched, and this is shown when they have like a beam attack war. You know, because it's an anime, and the beams meet in midair, and they're like cause like an energy explosion or whatever. In the midst of this, the beam explosion causes the Phantom mask to fall off, and Timmy is exposed. And fucking Vivian Meridian is like, oh my god, everyone, look at the Phantom. He's like fucking nerd. Jesus, look at him now.
She is such, oh my god. She's...
Vivian, calm down.
She's so ruthless with her commentary. Like, I swear to god, she's absolutely unchained with some of the stuff she says.
She is not very nice as an announcer, is she?
No, god, she's so critical. Like, oh god.
Okay, so now the jig is officially up. Not that this really matters, because the battle is over, the 5 minutes are up, and the Phantom has just barely managed to beat Jaslana with a few more points.
Wait. I thought differently. Maybe I was wrong.
Okay.
I thought he, like, absolutely, her points were, like, zero, and he had still a decent amount, but maybe I was wrong. Did I miss
her? Oh, I thought it was, like, she had maybe, if we just put a numerical value on it, she had 5 points left, and he had 10 out of 100.
Really?
Maybe I'm wrong.
Because in my notes, and this is my issue with this whole thing, if you're looking it up, I'll just explain. Mm-hmm. So, like you said, Jessie is doing so well. She's actually holding her own against this Dusclops very well. And then they have the whole Psybeam versus psychic beams crossing moment that has the ultra anime explosion at the end. Somehow, it knocks her entire outfit off. Question mark. Whatever.
Oh, yeah. It also knocks off her outfit. I forgot about that.
Her entire outfit. It's crazy. It only knocked off his mask, not his entire outfit. Even though they were evenly matched, she loses 3/4 of her points, despite the fact that they both took equal damage.
Okay, I found the picture. Yeah, see. It looks like he still has 1/4 of his points, and she has just a little bit.
So my question to this picture is, how in the hell, if they both had the beams and it exploded and kind of ended in like a stalemate sort of thing, how did she lose so many more points?
Because her entire disguise came off and only his mask came off. Therefore,
oh, is that it?
Therefore, Dusclops' move was more powerful.
This is such bullshit. I'm sorry. I'm angry for Jessie. She did so well and didn't deserve it.
Yeah, I remember their points being a lot more equal than that.
Yeah, I guess I must have like misremembered it, but I was shocked that she lost as many points as she did and he didn't. They should have been completely equal.
Yeah, we should have gone into, like, the overtime.
I think so. It's unfair. She did so well. Bullshit. This is Jessie Erasure.
Well, Jessie's here, and she's going to announce to everyone that she is Jessie from Team Rocket. And the guys get up on stage with her, and they do the motto. And Ash is like, I don't have time for this. Pikachu blasts them off, and they explode and fly through the roof. And Vivian's like, okay, moving on. So... now is when we get the trauma dump. Mrs. Grimm kind of storms off in the middle of all this, and Tommy Grimm tells the twerps and Timmy that what's really happening here is she had a traumatic incident as a child in which her beloved Poochyena was taken from her by men in suits who were hired by her unseen parents because they were grooming her to be a future CEO. And she can't be wasting time on foolish things like puppies. She has to be a CEO. So she was in tears and she was so traumatized by this incident and presumably a childhood of similar things happening that she became cold-hearted and refused to acknowledge the fact that Pokemon are great because of course they are. And then when she herself had a child, she continued the cycle of abuse and did the exact same thing to him, except for instead of giving her a puppy and then taking it away, she just never gave him the puppy in the first place. And she always went on and used the same language saying, we don't have time for this foolishness. You're going to be a big, powerful businessman executive one day. And this is just not going to happen. You are not a part of this Pokemon world. So that is her root trauma, which has never been addressed in therapy.
I feel sad for her. I wonder if this is a commentary on C-suite executives and how inhuman they are.
I think if there's any group of people in the world who are... If there's any group of people in the world who can indulge in hedonism and finding pleasure out of things, it's the C-suite executives who don't actually have any true worries in the world at all, except for whether or not they're going to get caught embezzling, because... Because they have access to everything in the world and can do whatever the hell they want and have all the free time you could possibly imagine.
Yeah, I guess there's two types of CEOs. Ones that engage in excess pleasure and ones that are singularly focused on their ambition to the exclusion of all else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Sure. The women, sure. CEOs, possibly. Okay. I mean, not necessarily true.
Look, I don't want to necessarily deep dive into a commentary on Japanese corporate mentality and how you basically have to focus on literally nothing else other than the company. You live and breathe for the company. I mean, we all know that that is a huge problem. Maybe that kind of stems from this a little. Like,
I mean, if we think of her as specifically a Japanese female CEO, that's an interesting character type, actually. I would like to hear more about that if anyone has any information. Both from a real-world perspective and a fictional perspective.
I wonder if there's any sort of merit to the whole, like, she's a woman, so she has to work twice as hard to prove herself. And that's why she's so singularly focused on work and making a name for herself. Because, you know, she's got to work, again, twice as hard as any of her male colleagues would in that same situation. So
she can't be fucking around with the cocaine and stuff like they all are.
No, because there's a completely double standard, so... Anyway.
On to the battle now. The battle's bullshit. Because taking a cue from her mentor Ash, Mei is like obsessed with using normal type moves on Dusclops, which do nothing. Meanwhile, Dusclops hits Skitty with at least one focus blast and two hyper beams.
What is happening? What is happening?
So Mei is like completely trapped in a corner to like the last minute. And then she's like, oh my god, you know what I could do? I could use assist. So she spams assist, which magically all the moves that come out from assist are able to counter the hyper beams and stuff. Like string shot beats focus blast, apparently.
Or how? Focus punch. How? Oh my god!
And the judges love it. They're like, oh my god, look at the way she's drawing on a random chance to win. And has no strategy whatsoever other than luck of the cards. Heart of the cards, I suppose. And they love it. The Phantom's losing points left and right. And in the middle of this, Mrs. Grimm interrupts everything. And she now has a speech. She has a speech to Tommy, or Timmy, whatever the fuck his name is, the Phantom, and says, Timmy, you need to trust in your Dusclops. Look at how much Dusclops is supporting you. It loves you, just like Mei Skitty loves her. You can do it, Timmy. She's all supportive now, because she's had a complete change of heart. That's not realistic, but okay, it's Pokemon anime.
Yeah, years and years of unresolved childhood trauma solved in a two-second conversation with her husband. Great. Which... I'm so glad that her husband calling her out solved her issue, whatever.
Immediately. He could have done that years ago.
Yeah, because, you know, men know best and men can fix anything.
They have ladders.
Ugh.
This gives Timmy the motivation he needs to lose to Mei, because Mei is able to... Mei takes the victory.
This is heartbreaking for Timmy. I swear, this is awful.
Drew is watching this, and I think he's just as flabbergasted as we are, because he's like, oh, she got lucky on that one.
Was it, like, what? This is complete, like, she threw that match, and somehow she won. It's complete bull.
Oh, the last thing to note is that Skitty finally used Blizzard. I guess Mei got her groove back from assist working, so now Blizzard is working. Okay, great. The end.
Wow. You know what? You know, normally I'm a Mei stan. I'm like, wow, we love Mei. She's the princess of Hoenn. She's a contest prodigy. Wow, fantastic. She's great. this was, yeah, I'm just going to say it. I think it was completely unearned. I think this was bull.
Yeah, it was.
And especially after that entire, like, monologue about, you know, from his mom about finally accepting who he is and his passion and allowing him to compete. He should have won.
May had zero character development whatsoever throughout this whole thing. Other than, like, believe in Skitty. Great.
Even that was weak. And some of the reality-defying things she pulled off, case in point, Stringshot having any kind of influence over Focus Punch? Like, what? Bonkers.
Bonkers. Let's flip the coin so we can give May the LVP.
Good. She deserves it. I'm going first.
Do you want to have Mr. Grimm for your LVP?
I have a different LVP. So you can have whatever you want.
Okay, I'm not going to give it to May. I'm going to give it to Mr. Grimm for that bullshit he's pulling. I think he deserves it, Tommy. MVP? I'll give it to Jessie.
Yes! Slay Queen.
Because she's... Even though at the end she claims she's never going to not cheat again, I think this was a major step forward for her.
I think she was lashing out in anger. I would love to see her more of her not cheating, because she does very well.
Well, get ready for more of her cheating first.
Damn. Well, she's got to regress a little bit and then to move forward.
We're not there yet. We're not there yet.
Okay.
You're just at the start still. Okay, my quote. Oh, I thought this was funny. During the right before the battle, Mac shouts out, "Come on, May, you can do it." And Ash says, "Do your best, Phantom."
Oh, he does?
Yes. Is Ash a real one for that?
He's a real one for that. Ash. Oh my god. Rooting
against May. That's awesome.
I love that so much. I didn't even hear him say that.
Oh my god. I love that.
Oh,
I laughed.
Ash. Oh my gosh. He's got his moments. That's great. That's so funny. I mean, Ash... He read the tea leaves. He knew. He saw that this was going to be good. He's like, you know what? That kid who has had a lifetime of repressed, you know, desires to be a Pokemon trainer, he recognized that. He's like, you know, Phantom, got to support that kid.
I think Ash saw that shitty appeal, the Blizzard failure, and he was like, I'm not going to attach my horse to May on this one.
Do you think that Ash put money on Phantom to win?
I can only hope so.
Oh my god. Sorry, Ash.
Ugh. Ash is so fun when he's a supporting character, though.
I know. When he has these, like, little side moments, that's when he shines.
Yes.
Was that all?
That's all I got.
Okay. Oh, man. Okay. My MVP, and yours was what again? I'm sorry. Tommy?
Jesse.
Jesse. My MVP is going to be Timmy.
Yay.
Yay. Because... he really came into his own for his very first contest. I think he did amazing. And the fact that we're twinning with the whole appeal thing. I love it. He should have won. Absolutely. 100%. I have to ask, does he come back? Or is he gone?
I think he might make a non-speaking appearance or something.
Like cameo in the background?
Yeah.
Does he show up at the Grand Festival in the background? Or just like...
I think he like sends May a letter or something. No.
I would have loved to see him at the Grand Festival, just to see, like, oh, this is how far he's come.
Yeah, him and Grace, both.
That would have been amazing. In my heart, I can believe it. My LVP is gonna be those goddamn judges. What the heck were they thinking?
Okay, I have a question.
Whoa.
Do we officially want to give Mr. Contesta, Mr. Tsukizo, and Nurse Joy individual LVPs? Or do they get grouped together as the judges? Kind of like how we do with Team Rocket and the Twerps.
I think just because of their collective horribleness for this choice and their actions, I think they have to be a conglomerate. They have to be the judges.
Okay, I'm going to retrofit that to previous episodes then.
Okay.
Whenever it's all three of them that we agree that the three of them made a bad call.
Yeah, like if they have a collectively bad take, then yes. But sometimes, like I think we gave what? Tsukizo MVP specifically because of his like... remarkable. So with those cases, individual. But with this, they were all bad. They were all horrible. A, for that whatever that judging, that ruling on Blastoise guy was, with a 15.8.
Something happened we didn't see.
That's absurd. I really can't wrap my head around it. And then the fact they let May squeak by with her horrendous first appeal, and then the fact that they let May win at the end, like, oh God, it's just horrible. Bad take. Anyway, my quote is, at the beginning, when Jesse and James and Meowth are spying on Timmy running up late to register, and Jesse says, "Aha, showing up late to enter a contest, proof that he's an amateur." And James responds, "My, aren't we feeling confident, having actually entered on time for a change?" And I thought it was cute considering the fact that they were late that one time and didn't get to enter.
Because of the old man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Pokeblock guy. Okay. That's it.
All right. Those were good episodes. We don't agree with some of the assertions the episodes were making, but they were good entertainment.
I think it's been a hot minute since we got a lot of this kind of deep discussion out of a pair of episodes.
I think it's been since the last contest episode.
It's always... Okay, you know what? You're so right. It's always the contest episodes. Mm. Gotta love them. What's our episodes next week, Austin?
Take the Lombre home.
Oh, cute.
And True Blue Swa Blue.
Yeah. Not as good. But I look forward to those. Like, I hope you guys are looking forward to those as well. If you don't have anything else to add there, Austin, then we will wrap it up here. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, we really appreciate it. If you want to get in touch with us, you can always do so. We have our Gmail account, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. We also have our Instagram and Blue Sky. You can follow us over there. We would love it. Handle for both is @outofthedryingpan. Again, @outofthedryingpan. And if you like what we do and you want to support this podcast, we would really appreciate it. You can find our link to our Patreon in the description. We have all kinds of cool bonus content and fun things over there that you can check out. We would really appreciate it. And as always, we'd love to say thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening, and we hope to see you next week as the journey continues.